All right, we're going to go right to our scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. And remembering now that God has commanded us to be diligent to keep unity together in peace with each other and with the greater church of Jesus Christ. And that's in our efforts to serve Christ and accomplish his purposes. And obviously, it is the only way that we can move forward as God's local church. So let's just read the scriptures. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Father of all, who's above all, and through all, and in you all. Good, good, good. So let me ask you the critical question from last week. Will you intensely work at keeping unity with us? And really, not even with us, with the whole body of Christ. And what that means is, will you work at not being opposed with other people? Okay? Not gossiping about other people. Not harboring offenses towards others, but talking to those who may have offended you and forgiving them. That's what we're really talking about here. And I don't think the Bible is saying completely 100% agreement in everything, because we know that's impossible. Even my wife and I don't always agree, but God's working on her. Old joke, but you get the point, don't you? The question is, are we in agreement with God first? And the reason I say that is because we go through our life and there's certain things that God tells us we kind of ignore and other things we don't. So we have to be in agreement with God first, and then are we able to intensely find unity together in his purpose for us as a church? And maybe a clear question might even be this: can we tolerate diversity in thought and in culture and still be unified from last week? And that's not easy, is it? It's not easy to embrace diversity. And, you know, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, okay, somebody may think I've gone totally liberal and everybody's saved and, you know, and nobody. No, I'm just saying that we as Christians can kind of get stuck in our rut, amen? And we need to be bounced out here a little bit and understand we need to embrace that diversity. And unity, as I see it, is what we believe about God and the Bible and then doing what God says. And that creates a sense of unity. And then that unity spreads into purpose. It can't be helped. Once we have that unity, it just pours out into purpose in which this local church has been signed to and called to. Now, somewhere, my friends, we have to live the gospel. Not just talk about it, but live according to our calling, which he said in verse 1. So he spells out these essentials of unity. And I want to look at them, and I want to read these again to you, because we were reading back and forth. And these are the essentials of unity, okay? There is one body, of course, the body of Christ, and one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, and that is your gifting and what God's called you to do in this assembly. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so we're told that we must agree with God on these essentials for unity, and they are one body, one Spirit, one calling, our calling, one Lord, and then I think a calling of a church as a whole, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And these are the listed essentials that Paul gives us so that we can understand and agree as believers for unity in the body of Christ. So today I want to start with first is the body of Christ. You know, because every time I mention the body of Christ, I think, oh boy, there's new people here, and they're going to think body of Christ sounds like a foreign term, doesn't it? And so a lot of times when we say those kind of things, people aren't sure what you mean. And so I really wanted to go over that tonight. And so Ephesians 4:4, the beginning of it says, there is one body. That is that Paul means the body of Christ, and by that he means the worldwide group of people who are in Christ. Now, let me give you an example. We may be looking at politics, and there may be a, like a assembly, like we've got one of our guys that ran for president, and he might address the group, and he says, I am addressing this body today. Now, we know there isn't a dead body out in the aisle, right? We know that what he's saying is, I'm addressing this collective group today. Or we use the term student body, right? That's probably the one that we're most familiar with is you're in school, and they say, well, were you in the student body? Were you, you know? And so we know what that means, and so God uses the same term. In fact, he's probably the one that invented it, if you stop to think about it. And he's used it, and we've seen it for over 2,000 years, but it runs much deeper with God. The body of Christ is not just our local church. It's the universal body of believers everywhere around the world in a relationship with Christ. And, you know, when I say that, for me, it kind of gets me excited. It's much more exciting if you know there's millions around the earth that are praising God, that are wanting to do his purpose, and that's the body of people that you and I belong to. We here only have a small piece of that collective body, a people of Christ, and we are a distinctive piece of the pie, but my friends, we're not the whole pie. Are you following me so far? Okay. All right. For instance, and I brought this up last week in this service. It didn't in the others, but I told you, you who were here, and some of you weren't here last week that are here this week, but we had a retreat. If you recall, it was a pastor's retreat, and everybody, we did a lot of prayer and that kind of thing. And so we invited the Catholic priest to come up. This is several years ago. And everybody knew in the Protestant arena that this Catholic priest really believed in Jesus Christ. I mean, I think he stayed in the Catholic Church to try to win people for Christ. And he came up to this retreat, and he dressed casual. He didn't wear his garb, and he couldn't stay because they were putting a new roof on the church or something like that. But he said, I just wanted to come up here and pray for you. And so he laid hands on each of the pastors and prayed for them. And when he prayed for them, he prayed what was in their mind. And he didn't know us. And as he went around and he prayed for each person, like I said last week, when I got back to my room and I was in the room with a pastor of the worship center, Assembly of God pastor, and I said to him, did he pray your mind? He goes, yeah. Did he pray your mind? And I went, yeah. It was just an unusual feeling that he was connected to the Holy Spirit in that whole thing. And I look at it and I think the doctrinal differences can be amazing, and yet he believes the fundamentals of the faith. He believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. He believes in a few other things that we wouldn't necessarily believe in, but I just thought that was so neat, and I thought, man, he's a part of this body of Christ, part of the church, and he's one that I wouldn't expect that to have happened in my non-diversity mind, right? And, you know, many people have said to me before, I believe that we are going to see some people in heaven we didn't expect and others missing that we thought would be there. And it's a neat saying, and I don't know how true it is or isn't, but I think we are the ones that are going to be surprised because we have the tendency to think small and tight in our qualifications to get to heaven, but who really knows in God's mind how God sees it? And you know because you have questions come up in your mind, and I have questions come up in my mind, and so I'm so happy to give that back to God. You know what I'm saying? And say, hey, Lord, you take care of it because I don't get it. It's up to you. But if you can hear this today, please listen to this. When we accept that we belong to a huge collective body of people, all seeing Christ's as their Lord, it's easier to survive here in the local church because it eases the pressure of harvest having to be the be-all and end-all of a church. Are you following me? Somewhere along the way, my mindset changed to view myself in this vast ocean of people who know Jesus Christ as Savior. And that I happen to serve locally in a church, and I love serving in this local church, and I love having you as friends, and we can fellowship together as friends, and even really when you get down to a family, amen, that we're a family together, and I love you, and I love that notion. When I keep the idea that this is a small piece of pie within the body of Christ, it's much easier for me to not get caught up in the drama that takes place when we think everything rises and falls with Harvest Fellowship or with the First Baptist Church or with the worship center or with whatever, right? And it eases it up to me because a lot of times we get stupid, I think, stupid into thinking we have to do everything and meet everybody's need. And we can't. We just can't. And when I thought that it was the only church I served and in my early years of faith, everything was too important, there was too much responsibility, and he had to, and we had to do everything and meet everybody's and make them happy, which, by the way, just doesn't work. Now, I was at a leadership conference, Summit Leadership Conference that happens every year the first week of August in Willow Creek, Chicago area. And T.D. Jakes was the speaker. Now, T.D. Jakes has a church of 32,000 people, okay? I don't know how he got there. I wouldn't want that. He told thousands and thousands, because this was simulcast all over the world, and he said, you know what, I want you to understand something. With 32,000 people, I don't have all the slots filled. He says, I even have paid staff positions that aren't filled because we can't find anybody to fill them. And he says, so if you get to thinking that your little church doesn't have it all together and is the be-all, end-all, he says, when you get to 32,000, you find out it's just the same. Now, I found that very comforting. You? We can't do it. It was a relief, and it's safe to say that no one has all the problems, no one or all the programs, no one has all the slots filled. He said many times that he even goes home and he gets into the closet and he shuts the closet and cries because he can't take the pressure of not having everything together. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to go into a closet and cry. I think that would scare me to death to go in the closet and shut the door. But I don't think that's the way we want to live, do we? So that focused me as a leader because I asked the question, what is it, God, that you want us to do here locally to further the kingdom of God? And if we can do it, great. If we can't, oh well. And do just that. And man, it's a lot more fun to realize that we are a piece of pie and not the whole pie. Now, I want to tell a story that I've maybe told some of you. We had a Friends Day back when we were at Heritage. We had that Friends Day was everybody was going to invite their friends and come. So this one lady invited his neighbor, and he came with a sports jacket and a tie and a white shirt and slacks and looked pretty nice. And so when I got done preaching, he kind of weaved his way through the people that were standing in line to talk to me and said, could I talk to you for a minute? And I said, and most of the people in line, I knew who they were. I said, do you mind if I just go talk to him? And I'm thinking, man, maybe he wants to come to know Christ. And so I got back to the seat, and I said, I'm Steve, who are you? And he says, I'm Steve, too. And not Steve, too, but just Steve, okay, T-O-O. And so I said, how can I help you, Steve? And he says, well, you know, I was looking at your worship band, and they don't dress up. And, you know, some of them are wearing jeans, and I just don't think that's biblical. And he said, and then you got up there in jeans, and you preached, and you didn't have a tie and a coat on, and I don't think that's biblical. And the worship team didn't sing any hymns, and hymns are the only spiritual songs there are. And they said, well, I said, so these new worship songs that are quoting Scripture, they're not really quoting Scripture? He said, no, it's just the hymns. And so he said, what I would like to do is I'd like to get you on my email list so I could train you on what's biblical to do. And I said, well, Steve, you know, the body of Christ is like a piece of pie. And I said, we are one slice, one small slice in that piece of pie. And then other churches have a different piece of pie. And I said, I'm looking in that piece of pie. I went, huh? And he said, what? And I said, I don't see you in our piece of pie. Now, I wasn't trying to be a snot. What I wanted to do is to tell him, hey, look, you are not going to survive at harvest, right? Wouldn't you say that's true? He is not going to survive because it's not the culture, it's not what he's after. And so I just told him, you belong to a different... He says, are you telling me I can't come? And I said, no, you can come, but you will never be satisfied. And you know what's nice about that is we can tell people who come and they're in a different piece of pie that they are in a different piece of pie. I look at it and I think we have a special calling. We're called to a certain group, and he would not survive in that. And Steve is a member of the body of Christ. And I'm praying that he's surviving in a place where it's another church culture, because I told him, look, we have no intention on changing in the way that you want us to change. In fact, we feel like we are called away from that. And so I don't want to fool you at all, because each church has its own culture. It's not about biblical, it's about culture. And sometimes we get those two things mixed up. We think the culture is biblical and the biblical is culture, and it isn't. And so we have embraced a certain culture here, which is casual and it's wonderful. You know, I love it because we let our kids run around. You ever notice that? Have you ever been in another church? They don't get to do that. I don't know about you, but, you know, when we started going to church, we'd be sitting in the pew at the First Baptist Church, and I'd be bored out of my skull because a doctor, whatever his name, I didn't know a word he was saying, and so we'd get into the hymnal area and pull out the hymnals, and we get the visitor cards, and we start drawing and stuff, and pretty soon my dad would lean over and knock me on the head. You know, am I the only one? Oh, okay, you know, a lot of you were raised in that, and so church wasn't fun. And I thought, you know what? I want these young families, I'm going to be honest with you, these young families don't know how to raise kids very well. They don't know how to control, because society's saying, don't discipline them, don't do this, don't do that. And so these kids are a little out of control, and it's like, okay. So if they run around and they play hide-and-go-seek in here, what have we lost? And I tell new people they're trying to corral their kids and make it work, and I just go up to them and say, look, relax, relax, have a good time. Let your kids run around. They'll play. If they fall down, then because they're running too fast, they'll quit running so fast. You know, that's how you learn those kind of things. Well, I look at that, and I think, you know, when he says there is one body, but we all are a piece of that pie. So here's what Paul says in Romans 12. For this I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or wisely, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. That's our purpose. God has allowed us to choose how we're going to carry out the work of the kingdom. Man, I like that. I just like that, you know, because when I finally came to an understanding that, because I thought, oh, we got to do it just the right way, and I'd asked different pastors and that kind of thing, and they all did it different. I thought, oh, wait a minute. God's telling us that we're responsible for our spiritual gift to use it, right? He's not going to do it for us. He wants the joy of getting. What if God did it all? And I think I even talked about this a few sermons ago. What if God did it all and we just stood and stared? I'd be bored, wouldn't you? I'd just hop the motorcycle and get going, forget church. And God would be bored because he'd be doing it all. So he gave it to us, and he's saying, here's the purpose. Here's what I want you to do. Now get out and do it. And here we are, folks. We're doing it. That's our purpose. So I look at that and I think, okay, so here's the application. I want to give you an application before we stop here. And we love to meet with each other, don't we? Man, I love that. And we love relationship, having a relationship. We love hearing the Word of God. We love our kids. We love our teens. Man, we love our coffee bar and coffee area. Let's get honest, don't we? We love our Bible college. We love having lifetime relationships that we're forming that will last for the remainder of our life. We love our mommies and daddies that are struggling. We love kids running around the church. We love men's group and women's group, and we love being casual. And we love the things that things don't always go right. You realize that? We kind of love that. I mean, when somebody goofs up like me or the guy giving announcements or something, what do? You laugh. Why? Because it's nice to know that we're not perfect. They're not perfect either, right? We love the church building. The Lord has blessed us with that. We love God supplying our needs. Man, I really love that. We love people serving, and we got a lot of people serving. I think we have great leaders in the church. I love that we have opportunities to serve, that you guys could jump in wherever you want to jump in and begin serving, because there's plenty of opportunity. I love the fact that we're saved and that we're signed, sealed, and delivered, right? He's ours. And I love it that we don't have to be perfect, because we're not going to be perfect. And so that's too hard to live up to. And I love that we can confess our weaknesses together. And I love that people come and visit with us and stay. I love it that we love to worship. I love it that we love each other. I love it that we all have kind of a love for the other pastors in town. I have a pastor's breakfast, and we get together and talk, and we get supported with that. Some of our women make the breakfast for us. I love that we grow not just in number, but in maturity, and we're seeing that maturity really coming up and working. I love it that we don't have many rules. I mean, I laugh at that, and you may have been in more casual environments, but get into an environment where the church has a set of rules you got to follow, and they tell you you got to follow them. And you can't serve unless you follow them. We don't have those. I love it that we love young families. I really think that's a neat part of our culture, a neat part of you guys loving some of these young families and talking with them. I love it that we love our hurting and sick. That we really do feel for them and keep in prayer. I just found out this week that one of our young family mommies has got cancer, stage 3, and she doesn't know what she's going to do, and it's going to be a pretty big deal, and so you be praying for that. I love that we pray, and God listens, and God even answers. I love it that God accepts us for for who we are, the way we are, and not the way we should be. But right now, right here, I love it that God knows we're imperfect. I love it that He sealed us for Himself. He set a seal on us with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, and now we're His. I love it that people are interested in God and seek Him out here. Man, I really love that. But most of all, I love it that we love the Father. We love Jesus Christ, and we love the Spirit. And we love the fact that He's offered salvation, and we took it, and we can share it with other people that come through our doors. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? That's just a little list of who we are as that piece of pie. Don't you love that piece of pie? Man, I love it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that You've called us out.